Question from Sudha Mehta Mataji. What if there are people who are honest and truthful naturally but don't believe in Krishna or God? Many times we do see people who exhibit morality, good demeanor, integrity, but don't believe in God, or believe in God but not in the way ISKCON preaches, like changing our consciousness or developing love for God. Like in Jainism, which also preaches that we should have high moral standards, but they don't believe in God. Answer: the Vedic scriptures explain that human beings can fall in the three modes. So, according to the mode that a person is situated in, the person develops corresponding qualities. So, if certain people are situated in the mode of goodness, then they will have good qualities of the kind that you have mentioned: morality, good demeanor, integrity. Now, does goodness necessarily require godliness? No, not necessarily, because goodness is a material quality. Certainly, as a material quality, or we could call it as a meta quality. A meta quality means a quality that underlies other qualities. Say, goodness has qualities like thoughtfulness, morality, sensitivity, love for study. Passion has qualities like impatience, vigorousness. Then the 14th chapter describes all these qualities in the Bhagavad Gita. Lobha pravrittirarambha karmanashama spruha vajasyetani jayante virudhe purunandana. Lobha pravrittirarambha. There is lobha, there is greed, there is eagerness to do new things, and correspondingly there is inability to persevere with old things. So these are the qualities which characterize the modes. Now, so if you want, so goodness is a mode, but as a mode, if we can call it as a meta quality, a quality that underlies all other qualities. So these are material qualities. Even Krishna is describing the mode of goodness, he is not necessarily describing it in spiritual or devotional terms. Sarudareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate. He says when all the senses are illumined with knowledge. But this knowledge is not necessarily scriptural or spiritual knowledge. It can be material knowledge also. And as examples of goodness, Srila Prabhupada gives the poet, the philosopher and the scientist. And Srila Prabhupada doesn't mention that these have to be devotees to be in the mode of goodness. So therefore, our understanding is that there can be people who are not necessarily devoted to God, or they may even be non-theistic. They may not even believe in the existence of God. But if they have the qualities of goodness, then they are regarded to be in goodness. Now, of course, as far as goodness is concerned, there are various qualities. It's not just one's intellectual nature or one's morality, but one's diet, one's the austerities that one performs, the charity that one gives, the food that one eats, the way a person speaks. All these determine the person's mode. That's why, so some people may have some qualities in goodness. For example, some people may be extremely intellectual, but then they may also be extremely sensual. So they use their intellectual competence as a tool to get sensual gratification. So then, are they in goodness or passion? Krishna explains that actually the modes overlap, and there is competition even within the individual heart between the two modes. So it's not necessary that a person will be purely in goodness just because he is intellectual. Let's say he or she may be intellectual or not, but that doesn't necessarily mean the person is in goodness. We have to, ultimately, the mode a person is situated in is determined by what is one's overall understanding of the goal of life. So if the understanding of the goal of life is basically sense enjoyment, then that is the mode of passion. And if it is the cultivation of knowledge and the acquirement of long-term pleasures, enlightened pleasures, that is relatively goodness. And if a person is just, person thinks the success of life is to have no work to do and to be able to sleep for 15 hours in a day and watch TV and just fool around that way, that is in the mode of ignorance. That's why after Krishna gives a systematic analysis of the three modes by defining their various characteristics, determination, knowledge, work, and all these things. He gives this description in the 14th chapter, in the 17th chapter, and the 18th chapter. The last item of knowledge that he describes is the conception of happiness. In 18.37, 38, 39, he describes happiness and goodness, passion and ignorance as I have just described. So, ultimately a person's mode can be determined by the conception of happiness of that person. So, if a person is not interested in sensual pleasures and is interested in morality and other good and other somewhat more refined pleasures, then we can, as a broad categorization, say that the person is in goodness. So, goodness can become a platform for a person to attain transcendence. If a person is in goodness, then it is as if that person is like a dry wood. So, when dry wood comes in contact with fire, it gets lit immediately. Similarly, when a person is in the mode of goodness and comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, the possibility, even the probability of that person getting illumined with spiritual knowledge is much higher than what it would be for a person who is in the mode of passion or ignorance. Passion would be like semi-wet wood and ignorance would be like extremely wet wood. So we see people based on what scriptures say, and scriptures give us these two ways of looking at all living beings in terms of the modes that they are in and in terms of their attitude towards Krishna, in terms of their respectfulness or receptivity towards Krishna. So from the modes point of view, certainly people who are having good qualities and morality and integrity are in goodness, and in that sense they are commendable. But if they are anti-theists, there are some people are atheists who don't believe in God, and some people are anti-theists. Anti-theists means they actually aggressively preach atheism and they criticize religion. So these people, nominally they may be in goodness because they are intellectual and they may seem to be moral also. Very often they are quite sensual in their day-to-day actual life, but even if they are not, still that goodness is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. And that's why from the scriptural point of view, that may be looked down upon. And we see this many times in the scripture. For example, in the 10th canto, when there is the pastime of the Yajna Brahmanas and their wives. So Yajna Brahmanas were in goodness, but they did not recognize Krishna. They were so enamored by the pomposity of the sacrifices that they were doing that they didn't realize that the Supreme Lord, who is the goal of their sacrifices, has now come here. So therefore, diktamja, actually they are, from the Bhagavatam's point of view, very unfortunate. They condemn themselves after they realize their folly. So from the devotional point of view, and they actually say that their wives are higher, because although the wives may not have been so learned, so Brahminically situated as they were, but because they had a devotional attitude towards Krishna, which they made them receptive and even eager for Krishna, so they are considered higher. So that's why we can respect people. Ultimately we respect everyone as a part of Krishna. And at the same time, certainly if people who are in the mode of goodness, we respect them because they are higher than those in the other modes. At the same time, the mode of goodness should not be the only criteria by which we look at people. A far more important criteria is the receptivity towards Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965-66,
to a large extent, India at that time was in the mode of goodness. But although they were in goodness, they were actually turned away from goodness towards passion. And that means, sorry, they were turned away from Krishna. From goodness, one can turn upward towards Krishna, or one can turn downwards towards passion. So although the overall Indian culture and lifestyle was quite a bit in goodness, but the whole infatuation was with passion, with the Western way of living and how one could get similar prosperity, technology and luxury. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada realized that they are not at all receptive to Krishna consciousness, although they may have had materially good qualities. On the other hand, when he went abroad, the hippies were actually far from goodness. They were in ignorance, but they were receptive to Krishna consciousness. And they got the mercy of Lord Krishna. And eventually many of them became the spiritual teachers of those Indians, those Hindus, who had earlier not taken Prabhupada very seriously. So because devotion elevated these Americans from the lower modes to above goodness also. So that's why we also need to see people in terms of their potential receptivity for Krishna consciousness. So if people are in goodness and are receptive to Krishna consciousness, that's excellent. But if people are in goodness and are not receptive to Krishna consciousness, or worse, they are hostile to Krishna consciousness, then we understand that they have these good qualities, and they have got these good qualities by certain activities that they have done in their past lives, and the way they have behaved in this life, maybe their upbringing or whatever. So we recognize those good qualities, but we understand that that is not something to get enamored about, but because they have not yet become receptive to Krishna consciousness. So Jainism, if we see historically speaking, Jainism and Buddhism emerged as rebel or renegade religions within Hinduism, when Hinduism became excessively casteist and oppressive towards the lower caste, towards the animals. So basically, from the philosophical point of view, Jains are atheistic. They reject God, but they're not just plainly atheistic. They have their own idea of the universe in which they have tried to subsume the various Hindu gods within. The subsume means, it's like we have consume. Consume means to devour. Subsume means not exactly devour, but to incorporate within oneself. So they have tried to subsume the various Hindu gods within their overall atheistic framework. That's why there might be some Hindu gods within the Jain temples also. But ultimately, they say that all these gods, they are just a part of the framework, and ultimate is the Jain idea of enlightenment, which ultimately is like nothingness. So the Jains also have a Jain Ramayana, in which they have, it's a complete distortion from the historical Ramayana given by Valmiki, but they have Lord Ram meeting. They don't consider him God, they just consider him to be a king. And they have, when Lord Ram in the forest is constantly meeting Jain sages. And then, eventually when Sita returns back to the earth, then Lord Ram becomes enlightened, becomes detached, and he embraces Jainism. That is their version of Jain Ramayana, which is quite strange, to say the very least. But the point is that from the philosophical point of view, Jainism is as a historical response to the Indian or Vedic tradition. It has evolved primarily as an atheistic religion. Of course, modern Jains are not as I said, anti-theists by any means. They are usually not aggressive about their beliefs. So, we see Jainism as not so much an atheistic religion, but as a pre-theistic religion. So, pre-theistic means, just as we know Lord Buddha, he came when people were indiscriminately killing animals, and he told people, at least stop killing animals, by which you will come to the mode of goodness, you will be practicing basic morality, and then afterwards they can learn about God and spiritual truths later on further. So Buddhism was in that sense a transitional religion to raise people from the lower modes to a basic level of morality and goodness. So Jainism also serves a similar purpose. So, and because Jainism is in the as far as the lifestyle is concerned, not as the as far as the beliefs are concerned, the lifestyle is in the mode of goodness. That's why culturally there are a substantial number of similarities between what we practice in Krishna consciousness and what Jains practice. And they also they avoid meat very strictly, and they also avoid onion garlic. And that's why as devotees, sometimes when if we are in a place where we can't get prasad, then if you want to want food without onion garlic, Jain messes are what are very helpful for us. So as devotees, Prabhupada Urkur Chanakya Pandit, he says a wise person sees good everywhere. Even if there is a piece of gold lying in a big dustbin, actually the wise person will pick up the piece of gold. So we appreciate the goodness in the overall culture of the Jains, and to the extent that they are receptive, we can encourage them in Krishna consciousness. But if they are aggressive about their atheism, then we understand that actually they may have some qualities of goodness, but those are overpowered by a negative quality of antipathy towards Krishna. Of course, as I said, the antipathy towards Krishna is not among many Jains. So in general, as devotees, we can try to see the potential for Krishna consciousness in everyone and see if we can be of assistance in helping develop that potential. But if we find that, so people who are in goodness, if we can help them to appreciate the wisdom of Krishna consciousness, they can take it up and they can rise very quickly. So in that sense, we can try to share Krishna consciousness with them. But if we find that while being in goodness, they are having an antipathy towards Krishna consciousness, then it is safer to keep a distance from them, by which we will be able to preserve our Krishna consciousness. Because people who are in goodness are sometimes also not only able to impress others by their character and behavior, but they may also have certain intellectual abilities. So we may get our faith may get disturbed, or we may get a false perception by interacting too closely with them. So we need to take care of our Krishna consciousness, and if we can share Krishna consciousness with them and if they are receptive, then they are the best candidates for Krishna consciousness. Thank you.